This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings. Welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you're in our audience, that you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a help and a blessing to you. Now, if you'd like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there. We'd be happy to take comments or prayer requests with regard to the program. The program can be re-listened to there. As a matter of fact, you can download the program if you would like, save it to your files, or pass it on to others through through an attachment to an email. Now, you can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. Now, today we're going to continue with looking at words that describe the Lord, or that are titles for the Lord, or in some way help us to understand who the Lord is. Because really, our purpose in this particular program is, first of all, to make sure everyone understands who God is, and that He is the one who created us. He's the one who has been offended by our sin, but He's the one who loves us and shows grace and mercy to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that in John chapter 1, the Lord has been presented to us as the Word, which is not the word we're going to look at today, but He is the message of God, and He's the messenger from God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I want to, on this program, make sure you understand that this person who was born in Bethlehem's manger is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, and He is the one that we want people to know, to trust. He's the one we want people to depend upon, and we would like to introduce Him to anybody who does not really know Him in a personal way. And so today, we're going to look at the title Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T. And you know that many times in your liturgy, in your worship, and in your prayers, you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word Lord really means Master, although if it's in capital letters in the Old Testament, it probably means Jehovah or Yahweh, the two ways that the Jews dealt with the title of God, which was El or Elohim, the Almighty One. But the personal God was revealed to them as Jehovah, the one who is, the one who was, and who is to come, the I Am. These are different ways of expressing that L-O-R-D that is found particularly in the Old Testament. Jesus is His given name in the New Testament. His name would be called Jesus because He would save His people from their sins. But we often talk about the Christ. And when we talk about the Christ, we're looking at the Anointed One. We're looking at the Messiah. We're looking at the One who fulfilled Old Testament prophecy when He came into this world. And I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 1 and verse 16, which says, "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." And so from the very beginning, this one who was born in Bethlehem's manger was fulfilling an office. And that's what the word Christ really means. It's the Anointed One, and it's one who is fulfilling an office, and it's a prophetic office from the Old Testament. There was one who was going to come and who was going to not only help us understand, not help us, but make us understand who God is, but He was going to be the Savior of sinners. And so when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we're looking at the one who came to fulfill a need that we could not fulfill. He was going to provide a righteous way for God to have the ability to forgive our sins. And His blood had to be shed. And so when we look at Him, we look at Him in many different ways. He's the Lamb of God. and he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the root and the offspring of David. We see all of these different aspects of the Lord Jesus, but as we look at those different aspects, we find out that it boils down to the fact that he came and fulfilled prophecy. He is the Anointed One. Now, if I were to take you back to the prophetic passage in Daniel chapter 9, starting at verse 25, we would read these words, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah," notice that word, "unto Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks," or in other words, 69 weeks. "The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times." And after 62 weeks, and I want you to notice this, after the 62 weeks, and that then followed the original 7 weeks, there was two periods of weeks here. And so after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Notice that. The Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One of God, shall die. That's what it means when it says they'll be cut off. I'm reading from the New King James Version. "And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come," which would be apparently out of the old Roman Empire, "shall destroy the city," that would be Jerusalem, "and the sanctuary," that would be the temple. "The end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end of the war, desolations are determined." And during that period of time, there's going to be great tribulation. But I don't want to explain this passage in detail, excepting to say that it is a timeline based on Jewish calendar. It's a timeline based on the Jewish calendar that tells us just when the Messiah was going to come and when he was going to be cut off. And he was the fulfillment. The Lord was the fulfillment of this prophecy. As a matter of fact, a man by the name of Robert Anderson began to work out, based on the Jewish calendar, when the Lord was to be cut off and whether this prophecy was fulfilled accurately when he was cut off. And so he worked with a Jewish calendar and apparently was able to establish when that command to restore and build Jerusalem was given by the Medes and the Persians. And then he worked forward and using the Jewish calendar, using 360-day years, the prophetic year, and then looking at the changes in the calendar because of that, it's like adding leap year to our calendar from time to time. He worked it all out, and he did not come up with the day the Lord was crucified. But what he came up with, as I understand it, was the day the Lord made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And that triumphal entry into Jerusalem was in Luke chapter 19. And the Lord, if you read the King James or the New King James, says, "If thou hadst known in this thy day the things that belong to thy peace, but ye would not, I would have gathered you as a hen does gather her chicks under her wings." He wanted to have Jerusalem and the Israelites worshiping him, but they were rejecting him. They didn't believe that this Christ, this man who came from Nazareth, this man who had ridden into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of an ass, this man who had done many wonderful works and all of those things, they did not believe that he was the Messiah. But we find out that he was the Messiah, and he was cut off, and the Messiah is simply the Christ. And so he's the Anointed One of God. And when we come to Matthew 16, this is a fundamental truth that Peter explains to us. In Matthew 16, there's a question asked, "But whom say men that I am?" And we could well ask that question today. There's many people who are denying the truth that Jesus is the Christ. And they think he's a man, they think he's a great teacher. And I don't know how they can think he's a great teacher if they don't understand that he taught that he was the ever-existing one, that he was the message from God and the messenger from God, that he was the Son of God. How can they teach John 3:16 and say that that's true if they don't believe the rest of these prophecies and that Jesus, the man who was born in Bethlehem, that man was in fact the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Simon Peter was asked, whom do men say that I am? And there was all kinds of answers. Some thought he was the reincarnation of Elijah, and some thought he was another prophet. But the Lord asked Peter a direct question. And it's a question that we need to ask ourselves today. Whom do you say that I am? And so I personally have to ask that question. Whom do I think that the Lord Jesus is? And I'm going to tell you that it isn't what I think, it's what the Bible says. And Peter answered that question. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so that is a fundamental truth that we need to believe and understand. We can't say we're believers if we don't believe that fundamental truth. You are not a Christ. There's many people who have arisen who want to believe or present themselves as a Messiah, but this is the Christ, the one who fulfilled Old Testament prophecy about the coming Messiah, one of which I've read from Daniel 9. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and there's only one living God. People make all kinds of idols to gods, but these gods are not real gods. They're figments of their imagination. They represent stars, they represent the sun, they represent the moon, they represent people that they have, the Roman and the Greek pantheon that was really a group of idols and gods that people thought had control over their lives. But here's the God, the Son of the living God. And this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Simon Peter confessed that, and the Lord says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And thou art Peter, that is, you're a rock, a stone in this building that we're going to build. Thou art Peter. And upon this rock, this truth that you have confessed, I will build my church. And so that's an important aspect of the gospel, isn't it? That the one born in Bethlehem manger, in Bethlehem's manger, was in fact the one who fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies of a coming Savior. And what's interesting is that he has said he's coming again, and people are denying that truth today and are even mocking it. And it's been 2,000 years since he's told us that, but he said he's coming again. And dear friend, when he comes, he's going to come suddenly. And we're told that the time is always ready for him to come. Nothing has to be fulfilled for him to come. And he's going to come unexpectedly. For those of us who are saved, that coming is a coming of comfort. We call it the rapture. For those who are not saved, that coming is going to be a coming where they'll weep and wail because of him, and we read about that in Revelation chapter 1. And so this is the Christ. I hope you understand who he is. I hope you have trusted in him, because he is the one who has come to save us from our sins. And if he wasn't the Messiah, he couldn't have done that. He fulfilled Old Testament prophecy, and we who are saved trust in the Word of God, and we trust in him. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program. We pray for those who have listened, and we pray that this program will be a help and a blessing, that somebody will come to understand who Christ is today and trust him for their own salvation. And those who have trusted him, we trust that they'll be reconfirmed in what they have believed. We thank thee for thy love, in our Savior's name. Amen.